السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شكر. أحسن الله إليكم.
أمين يا الله يسوف. How are you?
الحمد لله بخير يا شكر.
How are you going with our test?
نعم.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد, today in continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we are still upon the chapter Babu Imaqati al-Adha. Babu Imaqati al-Adha, the chapter about removing harmful things away from the Muslims, removing harmful things, removing hurt away from the path of the Muslims. In the last class yesterday, we read Hadith 228, and that is the hadith of the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abu Barzata al-Aslami. Abu Barzata al-Aslami radiyallahu anhu asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, dullani ala amalin yudukhiluni al-Jannah, dullani ala amalin yudkhiluni al-Jannah. O Messenger of Allah, guide me onto a good deed, yudkhiluni al-Jannah, by which I will be guided onto al-Jannah. In another report of this hadith, he had wondered, he had feared that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam may die. O Messenger of Allah, you may die. Wa abuqa ba'dak, and I will remain after you. Zawidni shay'an yanfa'uni Allahu bihi. So tell me something. Tell me, give me a parting note, something by which I will stick to. Yanfa'uni Allahu bihi, and by which Allah will benefit me. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to Abu Barzata al-Aslami, Amit al-Adha an tariq al-Nas. Remove hurt, remove harm from the path of the people. This hadith, we have about 5 lessons to draw from it, apart from some of what we have mentioned regarding it yesterday. The first of what we need to note regarding it is Hirsu Sahabati ala al-amal as-salih. Hirsu Sahaba, the haste and the crave of the companions radiallahu anhum for good deeds. You would find them also always asking, O Messenger of Allah, what will I do to gain good deeds? What will I do? What if I can't find this? How will I do? What will I do? They are all asking these questions because of their crave, because of their interest for good deeds and beautiful rewards. And of course, حِرْصُهُمْ لِدُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ لِدُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ, their crave for entrance into Al-Jannah. They all craved to enter Al-Jannah. So they were always asking about the means of getting into Al-Jannah. They were always asking about the means to gain tremendous rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one lesson for us. When we speak, when we relate to people, when we go about our daily activities, let us keep in mind, this dunya is a journey we are upon, and we all shall go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is necessary for us to seek means, of gaining the pleasure of Allah before we meet Allah. The second major lesson you need to pay attention here is that the student, the Fakhru Talibi, Ani Yawm Alladhi قد لا يجد شيخه, the student was thinking about a day that a sheikh may not be available. So he was telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'asa an tamdiya. Perhaps you may go away, Messenger of Allah. You may pass away, wa abqa ba'dak. And I will remain after you. If you are learning from somebody today, you should remember that a day will come when you will be alone and that person may not be there. So take the best of the lessons from those that Allah make available to you now upon the path of knowledge and guidance. Because a day should come and will certainly come when those persons will not be available for that. Sometimes you will be alive, those same persons will be alive, but Allah will bring a means by which it will become very difficult to access their knowledge and guidance. You will be upon yourself alone. Let us look at the last Gregorian year, 2020. The learned people were around, the students were around, but Allah brought a means by which it became very, very difficult for people to access their teachers as they used to do and access their knowledge as they used to benefit from. Even people could not go to masajid for Salatul Jummah. They could not go to masajid for Khamsul Salawat. They could not go to the Musallayat for Salawatul Eid. People were alone to themselves. So learn well, take good guidance. Remember the day that the person you have now talking to you and guiding you, he may not be available. So Abu Barza al-Aslami was asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La asa an tamdiya wa abqa ba'da. Perhaps I will go. You will go, Messenger of Allah. And then I'll remain after you. So tell me something. Yanfa'uni Allahu bihi zawidni shay'an. Tell me something. Prepare me, give me something that will be a preparation for me upon a day and time that I may not have access to you. So let's learn from our teachers now before the day when we may not have access to their knowledge and to their guidance. The third point that was necessary for us to note from that hadith, the hadith of Abu Barza al-Aslami, is that al-amalu min asbabi dukhulil jannah. Al-amal. Al-amal al-salih min asbabi dukhul al-jannah. Good deeds are from the means of gaining entrance into al-jannah. Good deeds are from the means of gaining admission into al-jannah. Some of the people think, yes, we want to enter al-jannah, but it's just by the favor of Allah. It is by the favor of Allah upon good deeds that you perform. The good deeds that you perform will receive favors from Allah. You will receive the favors of rewards from Allah that become a manifold of the deeds that you did. And by that, Allah enters you into Al-Jannah. One of the means of gaining Al-Jannah is that we do the deeds of Al-Jannah. The same thing, one of the ways people will go into the fire is that they will do the deeds of the people of the fire. May Allah protect us from the fire. The first thing I thought it's necessary we call our attention to regarding that hadith is that taysiru turuqi dukhul al-jannah. Allah has made easy the means to enter al-jannah. Look at how easy it may be. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Barzata al-Aslami, Amit al-adha an tariqin nas. Just go about. Remove harm from the pathways of the people. He had asked about how to get into Al-Jannah. Look at how easy it is. And that was why, like we mentioned yesterday, one of the scholars said, this advice of the Prophet for Abu Barzata al-Aslami is khayrun qalil. It's a small deed. It's a good deed, but it appears small. Yahsulu bihi kathirul ajr. But by it, a lot of rewards become gathered by the person who do that good deed. So the path to Al-Jannah is easy. The path to Al-Jannah is easy. The one who fails to gain admission into Al-Jannah would have actually been a failure in this dunya and a failure in here. May Allah protect us from that. The fifth point I like us to note here is that, and we had mentioned it yesterday, is that this hadith is dalilun ala adami jawazi ja'alil adha fi turuqin nas. This hadith is proof for the non-permissibility of bringing harm to the path of peace. It is not lawful. It is not sunnatic, if you allow me that expression. It is not from the sunnah for a Muslim to bring harm to the road of the people. If it was necessary for him to ever go about and remove harm from the road of the people, then bringing harm to their road, bringing harm to their persons, insulting them, the harm may be a harm that may be abstract, such as insult. It may not just be the harm of physical, you know, placing a thorn on the road, placing a tire on the road that could be dangerous to a driving vehicle, or the like of that. It may be insulting a Muslim. It may be harassing the Muslim. It may become a means of fear for a Muslim, creating a fear for a Muslim, bringing hurt to a Muslim, bringing inconvenience to a Muslim. This hadith shows that it is not lawful for us to bring inconvenience to a Muslim. It is not lawful for us to hurt the Muslim and the rest of the people. Don't be a means of nuisance. It is not in the sunnah for a Muslim to be a means of nuisance to people. Don't be a nuisance. Don't be a means of inconvenience to the rest of the people. When you do that, you are not giving sadaqah. Or when you are a person who removes inconvenience and nuisance from the people, then you are upon the deeds of the people of Al-Jannah. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make each and every one of us from among the people of Al-Jannah. We move to Hadith 229 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. He said in that Hadith 229, Haddathana Musa, قال حدثنا وهيب عن سهيل عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مر رجل مسلم بشوك في الطريق فقال لأميطن هذا الشوك فقال لأميطن هذا الشوك مر رجل مسلم بشوك في الطريق فقال لأميطن هذا الشوك لا يضر رجلا مسلما فغفر له. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله said حدثنا موسى. This Musa, from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, we know him to be Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki رحمه الله أبو سلمة. He is Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki. Abu Salama is the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. He is the one who is mentioned as Musa here. He is Musa Abu Salama ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki, rahimahullah. He said, حدثنا وهيب. وهيب is وهيب ibn Khalid ibn Ajlan al-Bahili. Wuhayb, the Shaykh of Musa in this hadith, is Wuhayb ibn Khalid ibn Ajlan al-Bahili, rahimahullah. He is reporting from Suhail ibn Abi Salih. Suhail ibn Abi Salih, we had read a number of ahadith from Suhail. From the very beginning of the book, we read the hadith of Suhail ibn Abi Salih, rahimahullah. So Suhail ibn Abi Salih is reporting from his father Abu Salih. And we've said repeatedly that Abu Salih, the father of Suhail, he is Zakwan al-Samman. Abu Salih's father is Zakwan al-Samman. So he is Suhail ibn Zakwan al-Samman, rahimahullah. He is the student of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu in this hadith. And he reports this hadith from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu and in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, مَرَّ رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ بِشَوْقٍ فِي الطَّرِيقِ مَرَّ رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ بِشَوْقٍ فِي الطَّرِيقِ A Muslim male passed by shawq, a thorn. He passed by a thorn, something that was harmful, a thorn, T-H-O-R-N. مَرَّ رَجُلٌ مُسْلِمٌ بِشَوْقٍ فِي الطَّرِيقِ He passed by a thorn by his road. He was on a road and there was a thorn by him. فَقَالَ This Muslim male said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ لَأُمِيطَنَّ هَذَا الشَّوْقِ لَا يَضُرُّ رَجُلًا مُسْلِمًا He said to himself, لَأُمِيطَنَّ هَذَا الشَّوْقِ لَأُمِيطَنَّ هَذَا الشَّوْقِ I will certainly remove this thorn from the road. He wanted to remove the thorn from the road, so he said to himself, لَأُمِيطَنَّ هَذَا الشَّوْقِ I will remove this thorn from the road. لَا يَضُرُّ رَجُلًا مُسْلِمًا So that it does not cause harm. لَا يَضُرُّ رَجُلًا مُسْلِمًا So that he does not harm another Muslim male. I will remove this thorn from the road so that it does not cause harm to a Muslim. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, فَغُفِرَ لَهُ So he became forgiven. He was granted forgiveness as a result of removing harm from the road of the Muslim. غُفِرَ لَهُ He gained forgiveness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told us about a man, مَرَّ بِشَوْقٍ فِي الطَّرِيقِ He passed by a road. And on that road, there was a thorn. And he decided that he was going to remove that thorn from the road, لَا يَدُرُّ رَجُلًا مُسْلِمًا So that the harm, the thorn, does not become a means of hurt to another Muslim. فَغُفِرَ لَهُ So he became forgiving. Again, we are going to see the importance of removing harm from the road of the people. It's very, very important in Islam to remove hurt, to remove inconvenience, to remove nuisance, and be a means of ease for the rest of the people, for the rest of the Muslims, even if it be an animal. To be a means of ease to an animal itself is a means of gaining Allah's forgiveness. We remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told us in a very popular hadith of that woman who was a harlot. The woman who was a harlot who saw a dog panting, and she provided that dog water. And as a result, Allah forgave her her sins. So being a means of ease to the people, removing hurt from the people, removing harm from the people, removing inconvenience for the people, and being a means of ease, a means of comfort, a means of relief to the people is a very, very big good deed that earns the individual tremendous rewards with Allah, from which is that Allah forgives the servant as a result of that. In a similar report of this report that we read in this hadith, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ فِي شَجَرَةٍ قَطَعَهَا مِنْ ظَهَرِ الطَّرِيقِ كَانَتْ تُؤْذِي النَّاسِ Al-Imam Muslim reports in the Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ I had seen a man yataqallabu fil jannah, going about enjoying al jannah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, I had seen a man going about enjoying the jannah. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know from authentic hadith that he had been shown al jannah a number of times. One of which was when he made al isra wal mi'raj. He was shown al jannah. Another instance of the Prophet being shown Al Jannah was on the day he observed the prayer of the eclipse, Salatul Kusuf, the day there was eclipse after that Salah, and he was admonishing the people. Allah brought Al Jannah to his sight, alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm not talking about his dreams of Al Jannah now, the times when he was physically awake and the Jannah was brought to his sight. We know of two incidences. There may be others, but I just mentioned two that quickly came to mind now. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be shown al-Jannah. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I had seen a man who went about enjoying al-Jannah. Why? The reason was that في شَجَرَةٍ قَطَعَهَا. He cut off a tree min zahri tariq, from the path of the road, from the mainstream of the road. There was a tree on the road. This Muslim went and cut off that tree. لماذا؟ لأنها كانت تؤذي الناس. Because that tree that was on the road was causing harm to the people. He went cut off the tree. By that, he gained forgiveness from Allah and he gained entrance into Al-Jannah. You see that this is in the meaning of the first hadith in number 228, the hadith of Abu Barzata Al-Aslami, when he asked about a means of entering Al-Jannah. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amitil adha and tariqin nas. Remove thoughts, remove harm from the path of the people. If you are a person who removes thoughts and harm from the path of the people, you should hopefully await from Allah that Allah will enter you into Al-Jannah. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive each and every one of us and make us from amongst the people of Al-Jannah. And like we have repeatedly emphasized under this discourse, being a person of goodness and providing sadaqat does not end with being a rich person who has excess wealth. The Sharia is so vast, and the means of goodness and attaining goodness and beautiful rewards are vast. So it remains for us to tap from these vast means to goodness. May Allah make it easy for each and every one of us. I think that will suffice for Hadith 229. Marra rajulun muslimun bi shawqin fi tariq. A Muslim male passed by a thorn on the road. فَقَالَ لَأُمِيطَنَّ هَذَا الشَّوْكَ. So he said to himself, I'll remove this shock from the road. Why? لَا يَدُرُّ رَجُلًا مُسْلِمًا. So that he does not cause harm to any Muslim. One of the scholars who explained this hadith said that this is evidence that this person, يُحِبُّ إِخْوَانَهُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He likes his brothers, the Muslims. He likes his brothers, his Muslim brothers. Out of his love for them, he did a good deed to remove hurts from their road. The Muslim showed concern for the rest of the Muslims, and he removed that shawk, that thorn from the road, for ghufira lahu, and Allah showed him forgiveness. Allah granted him forgiveness for removing harm from the path of the people. May Allah protect each and every one of us. So it is not from the way of the Muslim. It is not from the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it will now be a Muslim who will bring harm, who will bring hurt to the path of the people, urinate on the path of the people, defecate on the path of the people, park your car on the path of the people, pour refuse, dump refuse on the path of the people. You dump sand on the path of the people. You dump gravels and cement and all of these on the path of the people. Every deed that brings about hurt and harm to the rest of the people, Islam does not support. The Sunnah prohibits. And we have seen what good deed is there for a person who goes about removing harm from the path of the people. Don't place harm on the path of the people. And when you find someone else place something harmful or hurtful to the path of the people, and you remove it while expecting good rewards with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be disappointed, because the reward for that is forgiveness entrance into Al-Jannah. In Hadith 230, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Musa. It was the same Musa. Musa ibn Ismail At-Tabuzaki, Abu Salama, the Shaykh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Mahdi. Mahdi is still Mahdi ibn Maymun, rahimahullah, from whom Musa, the Shaykh of Bukhari, has reported this hadith. Now, Mahdi ibn Maymun is reporting from Wasil, and that's Wasil Mawla Abi Uyayna. Wasil Mawla Abi Uyayna. He is reporting from Yahya ibn Akil, and Yahya ibn Ya'mar. Yahya ibn Akil is reporting from the great scholar of Quran and Arabic grammar, Yahya ibn Ya'mar and Abil Aswad Ad-Dili. We had talked about Abul Aswad Ad-Dili. He said he could be called Abul Aswad Ad-Duali. In fact, that's what is most popularly known, Abul Aswad Ad-Dili. He may be also referred to as Abul Aswad Ad-Duali, rahimahullah, from amongst the scholars of Quran and Hadith. We've mentioned to us in the class yesterday what Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barr al-Namri had mentioned about Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali regarding his deen, regarding his brilliance, regarding his being very, very eloquent, regarding his intelligence, regarding his firmness upon goodness, rahimahullah. That was Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. He is the tabi of this hadith and is reporting from the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of those who firstly came into Islam and one of those who firstly announced their Islam, Abu Dharrin al-Ghifari, rahimahullah, from Banu Ghifar, and his name was Jundub ibn Junada. He said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, عُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ أَعْمَالُ أُمَّتِي حَسَنُهَا وَسَيِّئُهَا فَوَجَدْتُ فِي مَحَاسِنِ أَعْمَالِهَا أَنَّ الْأَذَى يُمَاطُ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ وَوَجَدْتُ فِي مَسَاوِئَ أَعْمَالِهَا النُّخَاعَةَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ لَا تُدْفَنُ عُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ أَعْمَالُ أُمَّتِي حَسَنُهَا وَسَيِّئُهَا فوجدت في محاسن أعمالها أن الأذى يماط في الطريق ووجدت في مساوئ أعمالها النخاءة في المسجد لا تدفن. The Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, عرضت علي أعمال أمتي. The deeds of my ummah were presented to me. Their salat, their zakat, their hajj, their fasting, their sadaqat, and the rest of the good deeds that they do. Uridat alayya a'malu ummati. The various deeds of the people in my ummah were presented to me. Hasanuha wa sayyi'uha. Deeds that are good, that are lawful, that are rightful, I was shown, like salah, and all of these deeds that we had mentioned, was sayyi'uha. The sins too were shown to me. Zina is a sin. Drinking alcohol is a sin. Backbiting the people is a sin. Telling lies is a sin. And other things. All these sins too, they were shown to me. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَجَدْتُ فِي مَحَاسِنِ أَعْمَالِهَا أَنَّ الْأَذَى يُمَاطُ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. So when these deeds were shown to me, وَجَدْتُ فِي مَحَاسِنِ أَعْمَالِهَا, I found from the good deeds, from the best of the good deeds, أَنَّ الْأَذَى يُمَاقُ عَنِ الطَّيْقِ, that evil, harm should be removed from the road. When the Prophet was shown good deeds, what are good deeds? Because the things he saw as is that Adha and Al-Adha Yumatu and Al-Tariq, is that heart should be removed from the road, from the deeds that the Prophet was shown to be good. Alayhi salatu wassalam, anna al-adha yumatu anittari. From those deeds that the Prophet was shown to be good, alayhi salatu wassalam, is that anna al-adha yumatu anittari, is that heart, harm, evil, inconvenience, nuisance, and so on, yumatu anittari, they should be taken away from the road. They should be removed from the road. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, وَجَدْتُ فِي مَثَاوِهِ أَعْمَالِهَا, and I also found from the evils of the deeds that the people could perform, النُخَاءَةَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, is when people have phlegm. I hope we understand what phlegm is. What when a person removes something from his nose, from the deeper part of his nose, it comes at the time of cold. If you remove something from, you cough to remove something, or you blow your nose, what comes from your blowing your nose is referred to as phlegm. When you do this, an-nakha'a, when you remove an-nukha'a fil masjid, when you remove an-nukha'a, it's also referred to as al-buzak, the most common name that I know it is, al-buzak. And that is also an-nukha'a. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the evil deeds that he found when the deeds of the people were shown to him, is that an-nukha'a fil masjid la tudfan, finding a flame inside the masjid, la tudfan, without it being buried. Someone comes to the masjid and he does that sound of, and then it was it. Then we find that flame in the masjid without it being buried. It's an evil deed. It's an evil deed to pour flame in the masjid. It can be at the place of ablution. It can be right inside the masjid. So, oh people, if during your ablution you blow your nose, be sure that nobody else comes to see that nose you have blown, even if it be in the toilet of the masjid. When you clean up the masjid, when you ease yourself, you finish easing yourself, be sure that nobody comes to use that place and finds the remnants of your defecation there. We should not find the remnants of our urine. We should not find the remnants of our defecation. You leave the place dirty. You leave the place dirty. This was from the evil deeds of the people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was showing. People will be doing it and it is bad. From the things that is bad that a Muslim would do is that an-nukha'a, is that he blows the flame in the masjid and he does not bury it. That was why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith that is collected by both Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam al-Muslim, he said, salatu wassalam, al-buzaku fil masjid khati'a. Al-buzaku fil masjid khati'a. Blowing flame, keeping it, you blow the flame and you pour it in the masjid. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said it is khat. He said the sin is an error, is a huge mistake. Wa kafaratuha dafnuha. Wa kafarat. Tuha dafnuha. And the atonement for that simple act.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shaykhana. We can't hear you anymore, sir.
I hope you can hear me now.
We can hear you now.
The reference in this hadith is that the Muslim should pay attention to removing harm from the road of the people. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وَجَدْتُ فِي مَحَاسِنِ أَعْمَالِهَا أَنَّ الْأَذَى يُمَاتُ عَنِ الْطَرِيقِ. I found from the good deeds of this Ummah that hot harm should be removed from the road of the people. Harm should be removed from the road of the people. Removing harm from the road of the people is from the major means of good deeds. That's why you find that those who bring harm to the road of the people are largely people of people themselves. When armed robbers attack people on the road, they bring hurt to the road. When other people, insurgents, bandits, and the rest of the people, they bring hurt to the road of the people. They bring inconvenience to the people. And this is unlawful in Islam. It is not lawful to bring hurt, to bring harm to the people. It is not lawful to even find harm and leave it. Remove those harms, remove hurt from the road of the people. And when you do that, Gufira laka, bi-ithnillah, Allah will forgive you your sins. And if you do that, like we have read from these ahadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that hadith, he read from Sahih Muslim, that لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, I had seen a man who was enjoying the goodies of Al-Jannah. في شجرة قطعها من ظهر الطريق كانت تؤذي الناس, because of a tree that he cut off and removed from the road that was hurting and bringing harm to the people. So from the means of gaining Al-Jannah is remove harm, and that's from Sadaqah. So don't come back to say, oh, I don't have money so I can give Sadaqah. We have found the various means of being able to give Sadaqah. We have found it from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have also found that one evil deed is that people blow phlegm in the masjid. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-buzaqu fil masjid khati'a, al-buzaqu fil masjid khati'a, blowing the nose in the masjid. As people do, the Prophet said it is khati'a, it is a sin. So if it happens that you do that, kafaratuha dafnuha, the atonement for doing that is dafnuha, you bury it. Meaning that you make it become something people don't come and see. So in our own masajid today, because in the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the masjid was just, they were not tiled, as you have tiled masjid in Medina now. In the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, it was just earth. So you could open up the earth and bury the phlegm. So now if it ever happens that anybody blows his nose or has phlegm, expels spittle from his far nose, then he has a duty to clean it up. Clean it up. Even if that means using your own clothes. There are narrations where the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to us that if that happened during the salah, you can blow it into your pocket. You can blow it into an anki. You can blow it into any other. But don't blow it on the, don't blow it to the ground of the masjid without burying it. If you ever blow it to the ground, you have to bury it. If the masjid is not a place where you can bury it because of the way it has been tiled and rugged and all that, you must be sure that it is cleaned. Why? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-muzaqu fil masjid khati'ah, blowing phlegm in the masjid is a sin. وَكَفَارَتُهَا دَفْنُهَا, and the atonement for that sin, the way to be free from that evil, is that that muzak, that phlegm, should be buried or should be cleaned. I think, bismillah, that suffices for Hadith 230. That will take us to Hadith 231, 232, and 233 under the chapter heading Babu Qawlil Ma'ruf. Babu Qawlil Ma'ruf. All of what we had said about good deeds, it has to do with doing actions, power of speech. You also mentioned Al Amru Bil Ma'ruf, commanding what is good. There are other aspects of speech that also make Ma'ruf good deeds, and by which will be earning tremendous rewards. So these are combined in Hadith 231, Hadith 232, and Hadith 233. If we look at it, Hadith Hadith 231 and 233 are the same hadith. When the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu ma'rufin sadaqa. Hadith 231 and 233, they have the same meaning of that hadith that we had read. If we remember, we had read hadith kullu ma'rufin sadaqa under 224 from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. In 224, from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullu ma'rufin sadaqa. Kullu ma'rufin sadaqa. Every act of goodness has the reward of giving out charity. As huge as the rewards of charity are, every other good deed also have the like of it in its reward. Now, if we come to Hadith 231, that will be the Hadith of Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Khatmi, radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Khatmi. The first report was from Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. This second report in 231 is from Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Khatmi. It also says that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu ma'rufin sadaqa. And it occurs in 233 also, from the hadith of Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, where he said, qala nabiyyukum kullu ma'rufin sadaqa. Your messenger, your prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would always say, kullu ma'rufin sadaqa. Every act of rightness, every good deed, everything we recognize in the Sharia, and from sound intellect to be good. From sound intellect, we see that this thing is good. From the Sharia, we see that this thing is good. All such things have huge rewards, such as the rewards of Sadaqah. That means from this is that good speech. What Imam al-Bukhari seeks to draw from this hadith here is that from that goodness is that when you say what is good, it also comes in this category. Good speech. Good speech. And in Hadith 232, he gave us an example of that. An example of a good speech that counts as from the aspects of giving sadaqah. And that will be the Hadith number 232. So we pay attention to Hadith 232 as an illustration for Hadith 231 and 233. We pay attention to Hadith 232 as an illustration for Hadith 231. And 233. In 232, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Hadith 232, Abu Yusuf, Hafizakallah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Sa'id ibn Sulaiman. Qala Haddathana Mubarak an Thabit an Anas. Qala Kana al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Iza utiya bishayt yakul, izhabu bihi ila fulana. فإنها كانت صديقة خديجة اذهبوا به إلى بيت فلانة فإنها كانت تحب خديجة. حدثنا سعيد بن سليمان. الإمام البخاري said that. حدثنا سعيد بن سليمان. That is Hadith 232. سعيد بن سليمان was the teacher of الإمام البخاري in this Hadith. He said حدثنا مبارك. That is الإمام مبارك بن فضالة. Abu Fadala, Mubarak ibn Fadala, Abu Fadala, is reporting from his Sheikh Thabit al-Bunani. Thabit in this isnad, as from the students of Anas ibn Malik, that is Thabit al-Bunani and Anas. He is reporting from Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, who described what the Prophet used to do and what the Prophet used to say. Alayhi salatu wasalam, that kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha utiya bishay, if something was brought to the Prophet, idha utiya bishay, if the Prophet was given something, alayhi salatu wasalam, if something was brought to the Prophet, perhaps some food, perhaps some drink, perhaps gifts of different sorts, when they were brought to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yaqul, the Prophet would say, idhabu bihi به إلى فلانا. Take this gift. Take this food. Take this drink. Take it to so and so person. فإنها كانت صديقة خديجة. Because that person was a friend of خديجة رضي الله عنها. اذهبوا به إلى بيت فلان. Take this gift. The gift they had brought. Say, oh, take it to the house of so and so woman. فإنها كانت تحب خديجة. Because that woman used to like خديجة. The point of reference in this hadith was that statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take this gift to so and so. He was guiding those who brought gifts to him. Take it to so and so person's house. Give it to Ummu so and so. That woman liked Khadija. And we know the place of Khadija to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha, the first human being to accept Islam. The first human being to accept Islam was Khadija. The Prophet came, she accepted the message of the Prophet. Some say amongst the women, but she was the first woman who accepted Islam. Khadija radiyallahu anha. Now she not only accepted Islam, she also supported Islam. Radiyallahu anha. Although there are reports people give, such as to say that she was 40 years old when she married the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just 25. These reports are not authentic. They have been reported, but they are not authentic. To say that Khadija was 40, the Prophet was 25 when they both got married, this report like this does not have an authentic chain. It has just been reported like that. So Khadija radiallahu anha supported the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like Abu Bakr did, radiallahu anhu. So whenever people brought gifts to the Prophet, he would remember the friends of Khadija. And the point of reference, the good statement by which Al-Bukhari rahimahullah wanted us to illustrate the fact that even when you say what is good, it is counted as from sadaqah, is that statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guiding them to take that gift to the house of the friends of Khadija, izhabu bihi ila bayti fulana. Take this gift to the house of so so and so woman. Kanat tuhibbu Khadija. That woman would or used to love Khadija.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shaykhana. We lost the audio, sir.
Abai Yusuf, this hadith that we had read, are you there now?
No, we can hear you though.
Now, this hadith of Khadija and the gift the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will send to the friends of Khadija are evidences that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allows a man الإحسان إلى صديقات الزوجة ومن يحبنها. The ulama say this is evidence that فيه الإحسان إلى صديقات الزوجة. You can send a gift to the friends of your wives ومن يحبنها and those who love your wives. You have a wife, she has friends, true friends who love her and that she loves. They guide her upon goodness. She guides them upon goodness. You can send your wife to send a gift back. You can send your wife to give her a gift. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send gifts to the friends of Khadija radiallahu. Also from the issue the ulama have raised from this hadith, they say, وَفِيهِ حِفْظُ الْوُدِّ لَهَا بَعْدَ مَمَاتِهَا بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى مَنْ أَحَبَّتْ. Is also from the aspects of protecting those that she loved, protecting her relationship. Your wife was alive, she had relationship with you. People, she loved those people. Those people loved her. You have to protect and preserve to them by way of the relationship that your wife loved and kept. Your wife loved those people and kept them. So you can help her to keep them. There is no doubt that this is referring to those who loved themselves and cooperated with themselves upon goodness. The third point the ulama mentioned, they say, وَفِيهِ أَنَّ هَذَا مِنْ قَوْلِ الْمَعْرُوفِ فَهُوَ صَدَقٌ. We'd mention that this hadith also contains the fact that the Prophet saying, اِذْهَبُوا بِهِ إِلَىٰ فُلَانَ, take that gift to so-and-so woman, فَإِنَّهَا كَانَتْ صَدِيقَةُ وَصَدِيقَةَ خَدِيجَةَ, because that woman was a friend to Khadija. That is a good statement. So you can tell somebody, a person is in need, you can tell another person who has ability to help that person, can you please help this person? This person is in need. Just like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, take a gift to Susan Super. She was a friend of Khadija. You could say, can you please help so-and-so person? He has a need. Can you please help teach so-and-so person? He is in need of a teacher. Can you please guide so-and-so person? He is in need. You can help somebody get help. You can help somebody get help. You can get help somebody remove inconvenience. You can help somebody remove a nuisance. You can help somebody remove harm or hurt. If somebody is hurt, you can make a statement that will help that person get help regarding his or her circumstance. That was what the Prophet did. And that was what Al-Imam al-Bukhari wanted us to realize in this chapter heading. And when you do that, it is also from ma'ruf. وَكُلُّ ma'rufin صَدَقَةٍ. And every good deed counts us from the rewards of the sadaqah that we give. From that also is the virtue of Khadija. It shows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so pleased with Khadija bint Khuwailid, his dear wife who passed away, radiallahu anha. From one of the biggest fadl and virtue of Khadija was that when Jibreel visited the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say taslims to Khadija radiallahu anha, and she too will return the taslim through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How was it that a man would tell his wife that Jibreel says that I should say taslim to you, and she would reply and say wa alayhi salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? It's very, very, very big status that a woman would attain. So those are some of the virtues of Khadija radiallahu anha. She was a very virtuous woman, so much so that even after she died and passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still remembered her friends, the people she related with. And the Prophet would still send gifts to her friends sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I think it will suffice for us to stop under this chapter heading today with Hadith 232. And that by that it will mean that we had read Hadith 231, we had read 232, and we had read 233. We'll go to a completely different topic from our next class, inshallah. If we have a few questions that we can address, we can start looking at them from Abu Yusuf, inshallah. Abu Yusuf, do we have questions from you?
No, JazakumAllah khairan ya shaykhana. Bayyadallahu wajhakum.
Ameen wa iyyakum.
Now, please, does it mean that some people are currently enjoying in Al-Jannah?
Well, this question comes when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said he saw them in Al-Jannah. I will not be able to give a definite answer on this matter now. Perhaps in another class, I will give an answer to it that will be clear cut, inshallah.
The other question reads, please, I noticed that people have been called Mawla in some hadith, like Mawla, Uzaifa, and so on.
Mawla,
please, what does it mean?
Like Wasil, Mawla, Abi Riyana. We had explained Al-Wilaya in this class sometimes, perhaps at the beginning of the class. Somebody can be the Mawla of a person in different angles. Al-Imam al-Bukhari himself, his great-grandfather was Mawla, Naam, Mawlahum al-Ju'fi. Mawlahum al-Ju'fi, Al-Imam al-Bukhari is Muhammad ibn Ismail, ibn Ibrahim, ibn al-Mughira, ibn Bardizba, ibn Man, ibn al-Mughira. Mughira was the first grandparent of Al-Imam al-Bukhari who accepted Islam. And he is Mawlahum al-Ju'fi. Why was he called Mawla? It was called Mawla because he accepted Islam from those persons. So one of the things that makes a person become Mawla is if he accepted Islam from them. Another one is if they freed him from slavery. He was a freed slave from them. They refer to him as Mawla Bani Kula, by way of connecting them to him and him to them. The means of connecting them to him, just like the one who accepts Islam from a person is Mawla of that person, as if to say he freed him from the shackles of shirk, the same way a person would free a slave, and then his ascription would be to that person. So these are some of the ways that a person could be Mawla. But the most popular of them is when a person is a freed slave of a particular person or of a particular tribe. We had Thawban, Mawla Ummi Salama, radiallahu anha. We had Abdullah ibn Umar. He had a Mawla, and that was Nafi, Mawla Abdullah ibn Umar. There were a lot of people like that. If you free a person from slavery, or through you, a person accepts Islam, amongst other things. You could also be a Halif. You are afraid that somebody may hurt you. You go and make a pact, an agreement of protection with another tribe, that the whole of that tribe should protect you. That was what the great-grandfather of Al-Imam Malik did. So he was referred to as Mawla. He was their Halif. They made an agreement. They had a pact that he must be protected. In some cases too, that person who has a pact to be protected by a particular family can also be ascribed to them and be called Mawla. Do you understand? As if they are the one guiding him and in charge of him, just like the owner of a slave is in charge of that slave. So when you have a pact with the people for protection, you can also be referred to as Mawla. But like we said, the most popular when a person is called Mawla so and so is that so and so freed him from slavery. I hope that is clear, inshallah.
Naam, ya shaykh, jazakumullah khairan.
Ameen.
Naam, please, is it from the sunnah to rather use the inner parts of one's garments to hold flame rather than releasing it to cause discomfort to people?
To hold the flame.
Naam.
Yes, you can use your inner garments. Make sure that you even pour it to your pocket. Be with you somewhere on your cloth, you pour it in the masjid and make it be quoted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you pour flame in the masjid, it's a sin, it's not lawful. It's something everybody hates to see. And the malaika too, they hate it because the people, they hate it. So when you harm the people in the masjid, you harm the malaika too. It was one reason we are prohibited from eating onion or having any unlawful smell, obnoxious smell, bad smell, bad odor to the masjid. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَتَعَذَّى مِمَّا يَتَعَذَّى مِنْهُ بَنُوا آدَمَ. The angels are caused hurt and harm from the like of the things that cause hurt and harm to human beings. So if you pour the flame, human beings don't like it. So the angels don't like it too. So instead of doing that, make it remain upon your cloth, somewhere on your cloth, than pouring it in the masjid. And if you have to pour it in the masjid, perhaps the masjid has sand like it had during the time of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. You can use your legs to bury it and cover it up with the sand. So it is not lawful if the person plots false claim, release it like that without verifying. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is khati'ah. To do that is a sin. And the only means to atone for it is to cover it up, clean it up, remove it. These are the means to atone for the sin of pouring phlegm in the masjid. So from that, it can be on your body. It can be on your body. It can be on your hijab. It can be anywhere. Then when you go out, you go and wash it off. I hope that it is clear about this. I mean what?
Can one be confrontational to someone who is seen littering the masjid with phlegm and the environment with pebbles?
If the person is a person who is well aware, you see this person, he knows Islam, he is well aware, he's an intelligent person, you can speak some words of toughness to him. Or if it's a person who doesn't know anything, you see him, this one, he doesn't know anything. Like children or young people, maybe people who perhaps are far away from the civilizations of Islam and from the lessons of Islam, from the teachings of Islam. It's just like what we are saying now. Many of the people don't know many of these rulings that we are talking about. Many of the Muslims don't learn or study Islam. You can find a Muslim, PhD, chemical science, PhD, physics, and he knows next to nothing about Islam. This is very, very common in our own times. We pride and brag with our professional qualifications while we know next to nothing about Islam. It's even unfortunate that many Muslims don't even know how to make wudu correctly, not to say perform salat correctly. And these are the things that Allah will ask us about on the day of Qiyamah. So if you find a person that this person is most likely ignorant, even if he may be a professor, he may be a professor and is still largely ignorant about Islam. If you find that the person is that kind of a person, then it's not appropriate for you to be taught. You have to be easy with him. Why? He's an ignorant person. Be easy with him. Be easy with him. Tell him in a nice way. Tell him in a manner that he will accept to clean it up. In a manner that he will see it reasonable that what he has done is not right at all. So if he becomes arrogant, as many of the people are arrogant today, when he becomes arrogant, patiently, you can remove it. You can remove it because when it remains there, it's a sin for all the people in the masjid. When a masjid is dirty, the person who directly brings death to the masjid is shameful. And then when the people see it and pass by it, all of them in a nice manner, then you can go and remove it and get the rewards yourself. That will form from the aspects of removing or hurt from the part of the Muslims and from the aspects of cleaning the masjid of Muslims. I hope that this response is clear about it.
No, Mr. Shekhana. Regarding sending gifts to friends of our wife, irrespective of when the wife is alive or not, what if the friend is married? Would the husband not misconstrue the intention? And if she was single, would she not also misunderstand the gesture? And won't our wives be curious as to why we are sending gifts to our friends?
The problem is that many times people don't get clear about what they do. If you want to send gifts to someone, send gifts. You can send it through your wife. You want to send it to your friends, your wife's friend, give it to your wife. Give it to your wife to give it to her friend. Give it to your wife to give it to your friend. Give it to your wife to give it to your friend. When women know the kind of husbands they are, all these kinds of suspicions will not be there. And when it comes there, because women are naturally jealous people, may Allah preserve all our sisters. It is clearly clarified. That is part of what lessons like this will do. Lessons like this will teach a woman that your husband can send this to your own friends. Lessons like this will teach a woman that it is lawful and not out of the ordinary if a man sends a gift to your friend. He will give it to you by way of removing any kind of
negative thinking from you to your husband and give you a gift. Please give it to your friend. Maintain your relationship with her. You understand? And then I think one of our problems in our times is that we are not used to giving people gifts. We are not used to it. We are not using to sending gifts to our friends. We are not used to it in our own times. We are greedy people. What we would even rather do is that if we have something to give, some people will snap it, put it on their, and be expecting people to be saying, oh, it is nice, it is nice. They will hardly be able to give something to somebody. If you have the character of giving people gifts, when your husband gives you to give somebody, you will not consider it as any other than another opportunity for you to give a gift to your friend. So because we are ordinarily greedy in our own times, may Allah protect us. We are very greedy these days. We hardly exchange gifts. Our own parents, we are not like that. Sorry to say, our own parents give gifts a lot. How many times will we be sent to give gifts to their friends? They will cook a food, they'll say, hey, come and take a pot of soup to so-so and so-so. We grew up to know these things. Do our own children, have you ever sent your son or your daughter to give a gift to your friend before? Oh, woman, have you ever sent your daughter to give a gift to your friend? Oh, man, have you ever sent your son to give a gift to your friend before? So that your son recognizes that it is from goodness to give gifts. So if these things were common with us, it will not be strange. The reason why it will become something strange is that they did not used to do it before. So why does it now, why is it like it's now they want to start giving gifts? But I think that lessons like this will teach us that we should start giving gifts if we are not used to giving gifts. Give gifts. Look for something to give to somebody from your house. Look for excess of one thing you have. You can give. Give gifts. Say what is good to people. Give gifts. Look for something to give to somebody. And be a giver. But these days, with all, everybody wants to be the one. You are the only one who wants to eat everything. You are the only one who wants to wear every cloth, wear every shoe. Some people will be boasting. Someone told me last weekend that she has over 300 pieces of clothes. A relative told me, she said she wears one cloth in a year, 365 days. If she wears one cloth in that year, forget about it, next year. I didn't know what to say. 365 days. She will wear one cloth one day. One cloth one day. Just last weekend, a female relative told me that she wears one cloth in the front of her husband. She wears one cloth one day in a year, and the husband was confirming it. Where are you going to pass this clothes to when you pass away? What is this? 365. Sets of clothes. So I said, how many shoes? She said, I don't know now. SubhanAllah, what are we doing? Just last weekend. What are we doing? We are so greedy in our own time. So these are the reasons why when you want to, or your husband says, okay, add this to the gift that you are giving to so-and-so, it becomes a thing of issue. Oh, why are you telling us? Because you are not used to giving in the first place. If you are used to giving, that question will not come up. And then if you are enlightened that it is lawful, it will not come up. So let it be known. Women used to send gifts to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. Men used to send gifts to him. He used to send gifts to the people. What kind of people have we become? We become so greedy, so greedy, so greedy. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Let me bring a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two different incidences. One incident on the day of Arafah. The other incident was in the month of Ramadan. He was fasting alayhi salam. And the people wanted to be sure, because many of the people were tired and negative. He wanted to be sure that the Prophet was not fasting. A woman was the one who sent a bowl of milk to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's see what the Prophet will do. So when the Prophet drank it, the people knew that the Prophet was not fasting. And he drank it openly in the month of Ramadan, because the people were exhausted from intense heat. And then they were fasting. And then they were on a journey. So they broke the fast. The point of reference there, it was a woman who sent the gift to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The problem is that the generational, in our own times, we have problems with simple things that we, if we got used to them, doing them at any other time will not raise any issues. But because we are not used to doing them, I think we'll start doing that gradually. Lessons like this will make a woman understand that, let me be giving, let women give. The people who used to give a lot in the time of the Messenger were women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam encouraged women to give, women give a lot. One of the wives of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was known to be the woman with the long hand. That was Zainab, because she used to give radiallahu anha. In our own times, it's all about consuming, consuming, consuming. Then you snap it and you place it on your status on WhatsApp. May Allah protect us. Abba Yusuf, that's not going to become a problem. It's going to be gradual. The man should pass the gifts to his wife and make it clear to her that there is no more than handing over gifts, as we have been encouraged in Islam and as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. If a woman also wants to send a gift to a man, she can pass it through her husband. Please, kindly send this gift to so and so person. It is not out of the blue. It is not a strange thing in our religion. If we are not doing it, we are the ones who have that problem, not our deen. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think it will suffice for Islam to be advised to.
No, Yashikana. Barakallahu feekum.
Amin wa feekum. Barakallahu feekum. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمه الله وبركاته شكرا